Time now, 8:07. Welcome back. You're listening to the KVON Morning Show for Tuesday, the 31st of July. And we do have an update on fire status. We're going to start here with the River Fire Mendocino Complex. Here's what we have on that portion of that fire in Mendocino County. 27,000 acres involved, 8% containment. 7 residences have been destroyed, 3 outbuildings also destroyed. This, again, is the River Fire portion of the Mendocino Complex fire, which is involving both Mendocino and Lake counties. 2,000 total fire personnel approximately on that particular portion of the fire. I would like to be able to segue quickly to the other one. Don't think it's going to let me do that. Maybe it will. Let's find out. I want to pick up the other portion of the Mendocino Complex fire if I can. Maybe this will help me. Let's see what I've got here. Total containment for the fire complex altogether is 12%. With 74,400 acres involved. That includes what I just gave you about the river fire and also includes the ranch fire, which is the larger of the two. Containment on the ranch fire is 10%, 8% on the other, but total for the two fires together in the complex is 12% now. That's the 7 o'clock hour update on the Mendocino Complex fire. The Steel Fire in Napa County, meanwhile, is 90% contained and holding at 135 acres, as it was yesterday. Meanwhile, up in Shasta, 23% containment now on the Car Fire. That's not this morning's update. That's last night's update. Haven't had a chance to pull up anything current on that one. 104,000 acres involved as of last night at the Car Fire. And so we'll keep rolling and stay and keep informed as we need to as time passes on these various and sundry fires we're dealing with. And that brings us to 9 minutes past 8 o'clock now here at KVON. It's time for us to continue our candidate profile series today. And joining us in studio now, another of the many candidates for Napa City Council, Bernie Narvaez. Bernie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
Good to have you in. And we'd like to start out these programs with a little bit of an opening statement. Tell us who you are, why you're running for city council.
Absolutely, Barry. But first of all, I just want to say my heart goes out to the victims dealing with the fire right now, and may our firefighters stay safe as they continue to serve our community. So I'm just very grateful for the opportunity to lead Napa in a new direction. My family, I came to this country when I was very young. And we came here with basically nothing. We didn't know the language or the culture. And through the opportunities of this country, we were able to overcome homelessness and poverty, you know, going from living room to living in a shack, then low-income housing. So many of the struggles that our communities are going through, I've gone through. I understand that hardship. You know, I joined the Marine Corps to give back to my country that's given us the opportunity to be successful. And you know, what I learned is I want to take what I learned and invest in the community with getting some of the issues that we're dealing with and tackling those. In my profession as an insurance broker for the last 10 years, I've served many families and businesses in our community. And you know, in insurance, you have to earn the trust and loyalty. And with that, barriers go down and you learn more from people, more from families, more from businesses and their struggles. And it's just been a lot of things over and over again, housing, traffic, jobs, you know, a high cost of living. And I've been hearing it for too long. So I want to be part of that solution. I want to help lead Napa to a direction that focuses on our residents, that invests in our community, that improves our parks, and make sure that we take our growth and reinvest in our community.
All right, very good. Great way to start. You said in your opening comment that you want to lead City of Napa in a new direction. What does that mean?
So for me, if you look at what I mean by that is that we focus on growing economically by using the tourist tax, by encouraging tourists to come in. The perception is that we only cater to tourists. And there's some truth to that perception because we've grown our downtown, we've grown a business, and that's a great thing for our economy. But what we have to do is also focus on our community, improve our parks and fix our sidewalks and address our housing issues. That hasn't been the primary focus. And we need to make sure that is the primary focus while we continue to economically grow.
Let's focus on housing. It's been the number one topic with each of the candidates because the public is saying the affordability of housing in the community is the most significant issue we have right now. And that's changed in the last 10 years. It used to be traffic. It used to be streets and sidewalks.
Right.
Now everybody is dialed in on the fact that many people who grow up here can't afford to live here, and just getting any kind of place, regardless of the price, has become a big challenge lately. What can you do as a city council member to address that specific problem?
You know, Barry, I'm glad you brought that up because it is the top of the list for many candidates. And, you know, one of the things I've heard as I'm meeting people in the last meeting agree is parents are, my kids can't afford to live here. You know, there's no way for them to live here. They can't perceive a future where they can live in Napa. And that's a real bad thing. So what I would do is not only help build more, push the junior ADUs, the granny units and detached, to incentivize homeowners to build more, because we need supply. When we add more supply, we create an opportunity for people to live in Napa from workers. But also we have to create a pathway to home ownership. They're not talking about that, because what happens when we create a greater supply of rental market, and when they're able to afford to get a mortgage, and if we didn't create a pathway to home ownership, they're going to leave our community as they're doing now. Again, my profession, I provide insurance, all kinds of insurance. One of the ones I provide is renter's insurance. So I've seen a young person meet somebody, get married, have kids, and grow. And what I found is once they're able to purchase a house and qualify, they can afford in Napa. They're going to Suisun, Vacaville, Fairford. They're leaving our community. Their kids are leaving our community. They work here. They take what they earn and they spend it somewhere else. And that's bad on so many different levels. So not only do we need to create affordable rent for our workforce and our struggling families, but we have to make sure that we provide a way for them to buy a home. So create leverage through our growth to create a housing program so they can become homeowners. Because once they do that, then they're more likely not to leave our community and be part of our community for a long time, be a proud member of our community, and and their children will stay here longer.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the necessary follow-up is how. You know, what's the policy approach, or what would you propose to do that would...
There's different ways to do this. And I would definitely reach out to the real estate professionals, the mortgage professionals, not just staff recommendations and consultants. I want to reach out and engage with the community to find the best way to do this. There are a few different ways to do this. There's already lenders that what they do is create basically an equity share program where you, instead of paying 100% of your mortgage, you're paying less. And over time, you get more and more of the equity. So that's a pathway to home ownership for workers. So when they're ready to buy, they don't leave our community. At the end of the day, what I want is our community members to stay here, to live here, for their kids to go to school here. So they can, we can improve the ADA, the average daily attendance, because you can, from what I understand, is declining. So the way that will look is leveraging basically our growth and our TOT to invest in our community and create a housing program. And make sure we have good partners that are invested in our community that see the same vision that I see. So it's up to me to go out there and engage with the community to find something that's acceptable for us. This is just my vision. But it's not that I have it all figured out, because I still have to engage with the community. It's a vision, and I'm working hard so when I am elected, I can put that into play, hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. There's been a movement toward adding 1% to the transient occupancy tax, the hotel tax, that creates a pool of money that would be devoted to the housing questions. You support that idea?
So it's going to create $2.1 million for housing. I think that, you know, I've been talking about TOT to be invested more into housing. So it's a good thing that we're doing that. I think we could address a lot sooner, taking part of the TOT that we are recharging and allocate to a local housing program, to an actual workforce housing. The route they're taking, you know, from what I've seen is the industry supports it. It's a good thing. We need to create revenue. But I would challenge them to do more than 1%. We can do more than 1%. You know, not just increase it, but take from what we already grown. I mean, TOT is projected to grow 14% versus sales and property tax of 4%. We can afford to take more than 1%. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we have to wait for the ballot and vote for it, and I hope the committee supports it. Because when I'm elected, I'm going to take that revenue and make it work for our community. I'm telling you, I'm excited for this opportunity. You know, somebody with my experience and my journey into this country, into this community, you know, going overseas and seeing other countries, and some places work really well and some places are in really bad conditions. And to live where we are and have an opportunity to make it better, it's just an honor.
So let's assume that measure passes in the fall, and most likely it will, and there's some additional money. Let's say it's not 2.1, but it's $3 million.
Okay.
How would you see using $3 million to address the affordability of housing?
So I would do two things. I would help incentivize homeowners to build more ADUs to help. So basically, from what I understand, and I'm talking to people in the real estate and mortgage companies, is that lenders don't see accessory dwelling units, the detached granted units, as supplemental income. So we have to be a good partners to show, yes, it is, because that way they're incentivized to build on their property or improve a existing dwelling. So instead of them, you know, the choice is, do I redo my kitchen or do I build an ADU? So if we're a good partner and make it less expensive and, you know, either lower more permit fees or eliminate them, if the focus is to address housing for our workers, then we can take that to leverage those buildings, to build those kind of structures. And then also create a pathway to homeownership. We have to address homeownership. Homeownership is an equalizer and economic inequality. That's the way I see it. Because when you own property and you do it responsibly, then you're on the way to get out of poverty, right? You own something. There's not just an economic thing, but it's a pride thing. This is your community. You live here. You belong here. Because anytime, I mean, if you're subsidizing rental for people to live here, we can't expect them to buy a home at subsidized income. We have to create the next step. You know, we have to do this at different ways, mm-hmm. not just rental.
We're talking with Bernie Narvaez, candidate for Napa City Council. It's our latest candidate profile in the ongoing series. I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I think you're number 4. I think we have 2 more, I believe, that we haven't spoken with yet.
But I was the first one to announce.
Okay.
FYI.
All
bring
right.
A little, it's early, but I thought I'd bring a little comedy.
Yes. Good job. We talk about putting more housing stock into use and accessory dwelling units and, you know, apartments that may be needed and are getting built and so on. The other side of that coin, obviously, is increased density, naturally, and increased traffic. And traffic is a concern that everybody here has. A lot of people in other parts of the Bay Area kind of laugh at us when we think, you know, you don't have a traffic problem. We have a traffic problem where we live. Somewhat true. The you know, densities are even greater, and there's more freeways and more cars in the central parts of the Bay Area. And yet, it's undeniable, you know, from being here a long time, used to drive all the way across town in about 6 or 8 minutes any time of the day. This is the old-timer's lament, right? And now you say, now it takes me 20, 25 minutes sometimes. And those traffic signals. What can we do about these problems? It does not feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of that particular part of our problem, our quality of life issue, how much time we spend just going across town, and then, of course, the you know air pollution that's resulting from all those cars.
Well, you bring up a really good point that, you know, maybe other communities are laughing at us, but it's our problem. It's a problem that we have to deal our way. One of the ways that we do it is, you know, encourage people to walk to work, to bike to work, to use public transportation. But that means, you know, working with MBTA to cater to the needs of public transportation in the new era. That's going to be a big challenge. And I hope I get to serve on the board when I'm elected. But, you know, let me go back to my profession again, because, you know, what's going on, the trends that's going on is going to affect the future of transportation and how we get to work and back. A lot less young people are getting licenses. A lot less young people are getting insurance, because there's a lot other methods of transportation. You know, and one of the things that I've learned from parents, talking to parents about why their kids are not getting licenses, is because they don't have to drive somewhere to meet their friends. They're on social media. They're on their phones. There's no incentive for them to leave the house. So we have to look at that too. And the other thing is the technology of vehicles. You know, it seems we can maybe laugh at it right now, but they're investing in self-driving vehicles. It's something that it's going to happen. I don't know what scale, but we have to look at that too. So what's going to happen is garages may not even be needed. I mean, we that could be 10 years from now, but we start now with increasing our density, adding accessibility dwelling units, and at some point there's going to be less and less cars. Right now it's an issue. We can't fix it right away, but we're headed towards that way. If you can encourage people to walk, so if people that moved out of town, they're living in American Canyon, they're living in Fairfield, if you can bring them back closer to the work, then, you know, they're not driving on the highways and we lower that traffic. But the 8 minutes, I'd rather drive 8 minutes, 10 minutes, than 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You know, and that traffic is just a quick flash to in town. Which problem would you rather have? You know, I'd rather have the 8 minutes to 10 minutes.
Moving on in a related topic, the condition of streets and roads, like I was saying a few minutes ago, it used to be when you took a survey, that would be the number one problem, particularly sidewalks for a long time. The city has made some progress with their 10 miles a year paving program. The pavement management index shows the numbers, generally speaking, our streets are in better condition. And yet, in any group, if you say that, somebody will immediately say, well, not my street, not my neighborhood. So we still have an ongoing problem, and we have significant major arterials that are badly need a repair. There's money coming for that. Going into a city council term, how important are those topics, street and sidewalk conditions, and what would you do in terms of financing and so forth to address that problem?
Sure. So we're in a moment where we're receiving additional funds through Measure T. We're getting a little over $7 million a year for infrastructure. For me, it's fixing our sidewalks and repaving our streets. We're limited to 10 miles paving per year. You know, 7 years ago, that seemed like a great thing, but we're limited now with our growth and our increased traffic, as you mentioned earlier, we're limited to 10 miles. We need to expand that. We need to look at our traffic report and not just be limited by 10 miles. Sometimes we got to go higher. And if we do a good job, the next year we don't have to do that much. But, you know, sidewalks is a big hazard. It's a tripping hazard for a senior community and for families who are walking down the street. I walked with my wife and my daughter from Imola to Fuller Park. And that stretch of South Jefferson, I counted 30 uneven and broken sidewalks. I made a video about it. I talked about it. I couldn't believe it that it was that much. And it's not, you know, in the areas where it's not properly lit, if you're walking at night, how are you going to know? And how can we encourage our seniors to be out at night when it's not properly lit and expect to feel safe? You know, our neighborhood should be safe access for everybody to walk, whether you're walking your dog, whether you're taking a night walk, it should be safe. And what I'm going to do is help fix that.
Mm-hmm. So the $7 million that you mentioned coming from Measure T is enough to address the problem?
We have the general fund. You know, $7 million is not going to be enough, but it's more than what we had before. And what we need to do is balance, you know, how much we're going to put in housing, how much we're going to put into a public road system. You know, we have to have balance. We can't cater to one side more than the other. So it is going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge that I'm excited to take on and engage with our community to find out the best way to address this.
Mm-hmm. All right, time for a break here. 8:27. We'll pause for check on sports in a moment and some top stories. I should say some important messages. Top stories can wait. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. We'll talk more with Bernie Narvaez, candidate for Napa City Council, in our candidate profile series here on the KVON Morning Show. Let's check sports.
Napa's professional baseball team, the Silverados, had a day off yesterday. They get set for two games at Martinez tonight and tomorrow night. This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. Tonight's broadcast gets underway at 6:30 on KVON, same time tomorrow night, as the Silverados are at Martinez. These are the two new teams in the Pacific Association. Napa has a 21-win, 31-loss record, and the Clippers from Martinez are 13 wins and 39 losses. This is the first game of a four-game road trip for the Silverados, who are just one game back of the Pittsburgh Diamonds for the final playoff spot in the league. The Oakland A's are hosting Toronto tonight. San Francisco Giants are playing an afternoon game at San Diego. And there were some Hall of Famers inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame over the weekend. They included Vladimir Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, and Jim Thome. In tennis, John Isner was the winner of the Atlantic Open. This was the tennis championship that he's won for the fifth time in 6 years. That has him join the likes of Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, Andre Agassi, and Pete Sampras as Americans who have won at least five ATP Tour championships. And there is tennis going on down in San Jose. The Silicon Valley Women's Classic underway yesterday and continues through Sunday at San Jose State University Tennis Center. Serena Williams gets on the court today. In soccer tonight in an International Championship Cup, it's Manchester United against Real Madrid, and Barcelona takes on AS Roma.
Hi, this is Ron Pippert, owner of Soskal Auto Body here in Napa. Recently, a couple of chain store auto body shops have moved to Napa. Your insurance company may try to direct you to one of these shops. You have the choice to select the auto body repair shop that you want to repair your vehicle. Soskal Auto Body is a family-owned business serving Napa since 1972. We offer a lifetime warranty on all repairs.
Trust your car with us.
We're here to help.
Soskal Auto Body.
A&W Restaurant is hiring now. If you are currently working in the fast food industry, listen up. Take a short drive up Valley and work at one of the busiest A&Ws in the country. Earn $15 an hour, full or part-time. They will work with your schedule. Going to school or working another job? Set your own hours. They're looking for people who love a fast-paced work environment. Apply online or in person at the A&W Restaurant in St. Helena. Start your new job tomorrow.
Matthews Mattress, your family and locally owned mattress store on Soskal Avenue in Napa, is your only source for Tempur-Pedic beds in the Napa Valley. And they have a large selection of brand name mattresses for you to try out in the most relaxing showroom you'll ever see. When you visit Matthews Mattress, you'll find the experience of buying a bed so much easier than you expect. They have free delivery, and if you buy by 5, you're sleeping by 9 o'clock on your new mattress.
Hi, this is Dustin. Come see me at Matthews Mattress on Soskal Avenue. We're your hometown mattress store since 1991.
Only the top athletes in the world can make the NFL. But anyone can play NFL fantasy football, the official fantasy game of the National Football League. Yes, yes. NFL Fantasy provides all the tools you need to build a winning team. Live draft and manage your team from anywhere on your phone. Get expert advice and player projections right in the game. What are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at NFL.com/fantasy.
Wherever you go, just tell your smart speaker to play KVON, the voice of Napa Valley.
And we are back at 8:32. Let's take a quick look at what's happening with traffic before we dive back in. Highway 37, this is eastbound 37, connecting to Interstate 80. A description of a traffic hazard has popped up there in the last few minutes. So keep an eye out there. That again, eastbound 37 at the 80 connector, the way it's described here. And also on Interstate 80 westbound at the truck scales, there was a collision there a little bit ago. Could still be in your way. On the markets this morning, it's been a little bit of this and a little bit of that. NASDAQ has started to gain some ground again today. It's up about half of a percentage point. S&P 500 about the same. Dow tracking along in the same territory. All these up 4 to 5/10 of 1% right now. All three major indices. On the weather forecast, it's overcast right now, and later today mostly sunny except for some smoke in the air. High today in the Napa area about 84. Warmer up valley to the tune of the low 90s most likely, and that same pattern is going to be true for tomorrow and the rest of this week and on through the weekend and into next week. Very little change in temperatures. No indications of any weather systems coming our way, which is normal with high pressure in control right now. So that's your story on the weather, and it's 57 currently at the Napa County Airport. Now we resume with our conversation with Napa City Council candidate Bernie Narvaez, who is here in studio, part of our candidate profile series, as we meet each candidate individually. Later on, get closer to the election in November. Hope to have some group get-togethers and hear the candidates discuss these topics with more direct interaction, possibly. You mentioned parks. I don't know that any other candidate has mentioned parks specifically. What do you see as the problem or the deficit in the parks currently, and what would you do to change them if you were elected?
Barry, thank you for that question. I just want to say hola, Napa. Thank you for listening in today, giving me a chance to speak. So parks is important. You know, as a former vice chair of Napa Parks, you know, it's something that increases the quality of life of our residents. Our sole purpose, you know, when I was in Parks and Rec, is to improve, to provide something for our community, to improve our lives, to have something for us to have fun. For the city that we have and not have more recreation activities, and the Parks and Rec departments do a great job with the resources they have. But we need more. We don't even own a community pool. When you go to other cities, they have a great, great aquatic complex, and they don't have the revenue that we have. You know, so one of the things I want to do is build splash pads. Okay, it's a lower cost in the pool, and we can do a few of them throughout the city. You know, this summer we've had some hot weekends, and there's families that can't afford to go to the beach. They can't afford to go to Water World or you know, to Vallejo, and they're stuck here. And sometimes the school allows us to use the pools, but it's not consistent access to the community. And some private pools are closing or becoming more expensive. And I know this because this is what I'm hearing. You know, I was talking to some moms, and they were talking about splash pads and how they're, you know what, we're frustrated. We were going to do the fundraising ourselves. You know, they know that this is a need. And when we talk about focusing to our community, this is one of them. And this is just a small way for our families to play together and be happy. Or when both parents are working, grandma or the babysitter can take the kid to the splash pad. Because that's the situation. When my wife and I are working, you know, grandma can take my baby Jasmine out to the splash pad. You know, and it's a great investment for our community. And if we're going to attract workers and young families back to our community, we have to have something to offer them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's undeniable. Napa as a city made some interesting choices years ago about collaborating with the schools, for example, swimming pools and sports fields, and never really as a city invested in those in the way most communities have, as you described. Now, though, there's such a limited amount of land remaining. I don't know where you'd find a parcel if you had initiative to build a community pool, for example. Do you have an idea where something like that could happen?
We've been working at the County Master Plan for a long time, you know, and we need to move that forward. We got to finish it. And we took funding away from that to build, to continue our senior center, which is great. Our seniors need that. But to take away from something we've been working for so many years, I mean, we could allocate funds from somewhere else, I think. So what we need to do is move that forward, find creative ways to partner with, the private sector that focus on recreational activities to leverage that land and leverage their public funding to meet the goals of our community. And we can do a public pool there. This can be done. We just need somebody to get behind it, to understand the needs of our community and say, this is what they want. We don't have anything. Where do families go? Where do kids play? You know, so it's becoming harder and harder for families that are working that don't have that much money to allocate for this. The city can provide with our growth, with our size, and not do this. I think it's a missed opportunity. And that's one of the things I'm going to push for.
Let's turn to the sort of, the 600-pound gorilla in the room in any conversation these days about the quality of life in the community is the tourism versus resident balance, what can become a conflict if we let it get there. As you mentioned, the city has developed a lot that is funding through the transient occupancy tax, city services. That was the long-term goal. That's the reason for going after hotels and so forth many years ago. So that's worked. The money has come in. The downtown has certainly changed. There's a lot of locals who don't feel like there's anything for them in downtown anymore. On a basic level, and to start the conversation, has the city of Napa gone too far into the tourism business?
Not that they have gone too far. They just haven't. They've gone where they need to go to create economic strength. But what they forgot to do on the way there was to focus on their community and tell them why they're doing this. People don't know why they're doing this. Some people just, they don't care about us. They don't care about our community. You know, that's the perception. Part of that is true. But there are things downtown that locals can do, but we can do a better way to communicate to people. This is why we're doing it. We're doing this to provide service to our community. The new fire station that we built, finally, that's a great service to our community. We need that. So one thing is engaging with our community, being transparent and being out there, not waiting for somebody to come to you, but go out to a community consistently is important. And making sure that downtown, this is what I was telling someone the other day, downtown perceptions doesn't belong to locals. We need to change that. We need to partner with Visit Napa Valley, the downtown merchants to create a way to make locals feel welcome. Say, this is your downtown. And when we see tourists come in, feel okay with that because their money is being invested in our community. But we need to show that the investment is going on. So there's pride and that activity, and also welcome the locals to downtown. More local programs, discounts, local days. There's different ways we can do this. The business side of me thinks about marketing and clients. How can we kind of use some of those techniques to reach our locals and say, downtown belongs to you. Be proud of downtown. We've done this, use leveraging DOT to build this, but it belongs to you too.
Is there a point at which the city will have the right amount, enough, or too many hotel rooms?
I mean, yeah, we can definitely build too many, the thing is, when you look at the projected budget, the revenue annually, most of that is going to already assigned liabilities, assigned, responsibilities. About 70% of that's already assigned. So we need to create more revenue. If I'm to invest in our community, if I'm to build the splash pads and create a good workforce housing, we need to create revenue. To do that, we need to develop in a responsible way, to partner with developers, to help me and the rest of the city council meet those goals. So as long as we're in a balanced path and we redevelop and develop to meet those goals, we're approaching the general plan, and that's going to be indicative of what we want. So we can't just go blindly and develop hotels and hotels. I want to take those opportunities when somebody wants to build something, commercial building, a hotel, and make sure we negotiate, you know, in a fair way where it's a 1-1 situation for them and our community. That way, you know, people are incentivized to invest in our community. We have to create 1-1 situations, and that's what I intend to do.
What dovetails off of discussion about hotels right now is this City Hall project or Civic Center project. When it started out, it seemed to be flying under the radar to a certain degree, and suddenly in the last few months, it's become an issue in the campaigns. Candidates are talking about it, and some people are questioning the plan as it's described. So without going into elaborate detail about what it is, I think most of our listeners have some concept of what we're talking about. Are you in favor of the current proposal for the new City Hall or Civic Center?
I'm in favor of building a new City Hall and using new revenues to build it. That's a smart move. You know, the city has been thinking about it for over 10 years, and it's only going to get more and more expensive. There are concerns that we can address as we build, but, you know, the alternative is we keep the current building and pay the liabilities through unfunded, you know, new unfunded resources. You know, again, we have to create revenue to invest in our community. And once that new City Hall meets the breaking point, basically where it pays off. Sorry, I can't think of the term. But then we can take that surplus and continue to reinvest in our community. At some point, we need a City Hall. We need a new fire department, police department. And if we take in the fire department at the same time, we get all done. It's get all done at once. Let's continue, let's construct, and let's move on. We're going to stretch out downtown. We have the west side, you know, with the Civic Center, the east side with the Oxbow, and the whole area is going to be great economically for our city. We need revenue to invest in our community. And we don't do this, you know, it's going to, we have to pay for it initially, but if we do it correctly and we continue to do this, then we can add additional funds. I want those funds to address our needs.
And to follow up, I'm not sure if I was clear. Do you support the proposal as it's described? You said you do think we need a new City Hall, but is the current proposal the answer?
I think it's a great proposal. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let's see what else. Wanted to get into, we talked about workforce housing, sidewalks and streets. Let's see what else is in my list here. Lost my sense of purpose for a second. Let's take a quick break. That's always
the answer.
Commercials solve all problems. Play a couple of those. We'll come back and talk some more with Bernie Narvaez, our guest in the Candidate Profile Series. Back with more in a moment.
Grapevine. Greetings. Napa City Nights is proud to announce the 2018 Summer Concert Series every Friday night, 6:30 to 10 p.m., June 8th through August 24th at the Veterans Memorial Park Amphitheater in downtown Napa. Free live music for the whole family. Bring a blanket and put on your dancing shoes. Presented by Jeremy Nickel Sellers, Bergen Screen Printing and Etching, the City of Napa, and all of our fine sponsors. Visit our website at NapaCityNights.com or Facebook for the full calendar of events. Napa City Nights, where Napa makes music.
If you've dropped your smartphone or tablet and cracked a screen, bring it to Computer Engineering Group. They can repair it for you. Computer Engineering Group provides the most complete line of full services, including IT solutions. Need a new server, network monitoring, or a backup solution? Computer Engineering Group can handle it for you. They also repair Apple and PC computers. Napa's one stop for IT services, computer, and smartphone repair is Computer Engineering Group. Call 833-CEG-9701.
All right, we're back. It is 8:46. Again, it's the KVON Morning Show for Tuesday, the 31st of July. We're continuing our series of candidate profiles. Six candidates for two open seats on the Napa City Council in the coming November election. Bernie Narvaez is one of those candidates, and he's our guest here in our candidate profile series. We touched on, for a moment, the general plan update is coming. That's for a lot of residents in any community, that's a real, you know, roll your eyes back in your head kind of topic and glaze over, like, what does that mean and why would I care? But as time passes, you may discover there's a proposed development in your neighborhood that does fit or doesn't fit the general plan, so it's kind of important that you understand what it is as a citizen. Going into that process, what would your priorities be as a council member if you're elected?
What will be housing? How are we gonna build housing? How dense? You know, which neighborhoods? You know, are we gonna build into? You know, how dense are we gonna do infill? You know, there's developments that got shut down because they want amendments to the general plan, and you know, neighborhoods didn't support it. So this general plan coming up, it's gonna be very important. It's going to give us direction for the next 20 years. My daughter is going to be 20 when this general plan expires. I'm just telling you off air that my daughter's 8 months. I have another daughter on the way. I'm very blessed to be surrounded by strong women that guided me to be a good man. And this is important because it's going to tell us where we're going to go. And I encourage everybody to be a part of as much as you can, to pay attention, to register to vote. We had a low turnout. We need more people to vote. You can do it on your phone. It takes a few minutes. If you have a California ID or license, they take that signature, and you authorize it online, and it only takes a few minutes, and you're set. Sorry, I had to plug in that register vote thing. I had to do it before I go because people need to do it. And I do all the time. I sell somebody insurance, and then I register them to vote. You know, so we got to get involved in this new general plan. It will only be successful with more input and more people that care about community in what direction. Mm-hmm.
So you're out there walking the neighborhoods, knocking on doors,
mm-hmm. meet and greets. Mm-hmm. You know, those people kind enough to open their doors and introduce me to their friends and neighbors. You know, and it's exciting to meet a lot of new people. This is why I announced her early, because not a lot of people knew who I was, but I have this fire inside me to tackle these issues. And mm-hmm. I want to get in front of as many people as I can to hear the issues, not just say, this is what I think. It's this is what the people think. And this is how I'm going to put that together and try and meet those goals.
So what are you hearing from people? What are the dominant themes that are coming back to you as you talk to citizens?
Streets, sidewalks.
Yeah.
And it depends. If I'm talking to a family, it's the splash pads. I brought it up, and not just the splash pad, but the parks. You know, sidewalk, crossing, crosswalks. With, you know, for example, on Imola by South Manhattan, in my neighborhood, you know, we have that road with the crosswalk. That's going over four lanes, and it's not properly lit, and it's very dangerous. I mean, that's Caltrans there, but we need to partner with them and encourage them. Hey, we need to get this fixed. Not just, you know, the city authorized to beautify that area, but we need to make it safer. If you're going to encourage people to gather cars, we can't expect them to do that with broken sidewalks and unsafe crosswalks, you know, or no crosswalks, because you start on one sidewalk. The sidewalk ends, the sidewalk's on the other side of the road, there's no crosswalk, and then there's no little on-ramp there for somebody in the scooter to get off. We have to address this. These are basic stuff that our community needs. You know, there's different ways to address traffic. It's not just housing. It's getting people out. And if we build parks that are better or improve our parks, then people are going to, you know, get out there and play and be more happy about their community.
All right, very good. I think I've gotten through my entire list of topics that I'm trying to address with each candidate. Why don't you give us some wrap-up, summary, closing statement, whatever you like to call it?
Absolutely. You know, right now, you know, I've been married 11 years. My wife, Gabby, and I have a daughter, 8 months, Jasmine, and we have another one on the way. So, and we are a new homeowner we bought last August. One of the lucky ones that was able to buy a Napa. And it still was not easy. You know, that struggle, it was a real struggle. You know, as a veteran, as a Iraq War veteran, I have, you know, the benefit of using a VA loan. And that helped me tremendously. But people in our community, they don't all have that, right? So this is one of the things that intrigued me to come up with the pathway to homeownership, to help people become homeowners, you know, because I want my daughter to have the opportunity. It's about creating opportunities for people that want to, the people that are able and willing to go after it, to create a vibrant community. And we can't do that when we're losing people, you know. And, you know, although it was hard to buy a home in Napa, my wife and I made a commitment because we want to be here. We want to help improve our community. And when my daughters grow up, I want to make sure that they have that same opportunity that we had. It's maybe a little easier to do that. You know, I came to this country with my family from poverty. We worked hard. You know, we took advantage of the opportunities, and we're not rich, but we're a little bit better than where we started. We still struggle. I mean, I still have to work really hard to keep my doors open at the office. We have to also look out for businesses, our small businesses that many are struggling, many are closing because the changes in our economy, the changes in retail. And we need to make sure that they're being backed and they're being supported and provide resources to succeed in the transition of the retail world to a service or a hybrid service retail world for them to survive. So one thing I get from you is a passionate person, compassionate, but hard worker, someone that believes in our community, that believes in the American dream. It's still alive, it's just harder to achieve it. So we have to create opportunities to achieve it and create perception and create a vision that you can get there by setting up these steps, by create, you know, having it easier to rent here and then become a homeowner so you can stay here in our community and be my neighbor and grow up together and have discussions on how we can make our community better.
And that's a good place to wrap it up. Bernie Narvaez in our candidate profile series. Thanks for coming in today. And
thank you, Barry. Thank you, Napa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. We'll have you back for hopefully a get-together involving multiple candidates, if not all. We'll see how many people we can squeeze into a space and stick mics in front of everybody's faces. Thanks for being here. 8:53, time for a break. We'll wrap up today's morning show after this.